right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi everyone. My name is Timothée Gosselin. I'm part of Indie Hosters, the hosting provider, and also LastSuite.coop. And today I want to introduce you LastSuite.coop and this kind of hybrid model that we are pushing forward with a public cooperative and commons model. So today across Europe, like, institutions are seeking for credible sovereign and open alternatives to proprietary cloud platforms. And we believe that this model is can be a blueprint for the future open digital commons. So let's start with the basics. We are at FOSDEM. It's also about open source, for sure. And why do we choose open source? So we choose open source to escape vendor lock-in, for transparency. And we usually adopt open source to escape this dependency, but yet we often remain dependent on the economic actor behind it. And what we actually mean by sovereignty is not is rarely made explicit. So, as I said, open source removes technical lock-in, but often leaves strategic dependency. It gives you legal freedom, but not necessarily the decision power. So, actually, open source is not really about sovereignty. Sovereignty is about who's funding it, and the fundings will shape all the priorities behind the projects. And survival will come before everything else. It's always the survival of the actor who's maintaining and developing the infrastructure on the open source software. And most of those open source software depend on a single economic actor, as I was already mentioning. And when survival depends on growth and revenue concentration, governance will always come after. So I'm actually not here about to make a trial on private entities. It's only about intentions and incentives. So sovereignty is actually about trade-offs. It's about decisions, and decisions that are unavoidable. Sorry. It's about when the system is under stress, who has the power to decide? And we are seeing this in all the projects. We have to take decisions. Should we raise prices, reduce support? Should we change licenses or slow development? Should we seek more capitals, accept limits, develop more features, or concentrate on consolidating the core of the product, accept more contribution? Which kind of contribution are we accepting? And we think this more and more with these open core models. And usually open source is used to enter a market and then capturing the values by closing it. And how we can take decisions in this strategy. So actually, licenses don't decide. It's a governance that does. And licenses will define rights, but governance defines who decides when rights conflicts with constraints. And sovereignty is actually the power to decide, especially when choices are hard and infrastructure are under stress. And we are seeing this a lot at the moment. We all know the geopolitical situation, and we are seeing hard decision and our real dependency on this infrastructure that are US-based or proprietary. So as I was saying, Europe institutions are seeking for credible solution for sovereignty and open alternatives. And I want to introduce you one initiative that was done in France called La Suite, which I think is a really bold step in that direction. And it's something quite new that is really shaping a new landscape. And it's a very unique new way to do things. So a public institution decided to develop and maintain open source software with this ambition to demonstrate that we can maintain commons with a public institution for the public good and the public interest. And there's also other initiatives in Europe happening. So for instance, in Germany, there is an open desk initiative, which is a bit different. It's a more traditional path. They decided to partnership with more established open source software editors, which is also an interesting path. But really with last week, we are seeing this major shift with this public entity developing open source software by themselves. And so La Suite is not a procurement. So this matters. But what really matters is that commons need an ecosystem. Without an ecosystem, commons will be fragmented, captured, or even disappear. So we have last week, okay, we have this public interest by design. It's reusable beyond the state. And it's a reality upstream. But yeah, we need this ecosystem of different actors to provide support, to provide hosting, to provide adoption, training, and long-term maintenance. So enter Lasset.coop. And that's where we want to jump in with our model of a multi-stakeholders cooperative, where users, workers, public and private actors are actually co-owners of the entity. So this is really how users can regain control, not just access, but they have real control on the governance and on the decisions. So at the root of the Lasset.coop, there's different service providers that are committed to open and democratic digital infrastructure. It's actually various cooperatives that are getting together to provide a shared infrastructure, to share responsibility and a shared roadmap, and to provide a service together. So it's about mutualization over competition. So you have India Hostels, which has I'm part of. So we are historically a hosting provider, so we manage the hosting part. You have Yarl.coop, which is a developer cooperative. So they can work on developing integration, debugging, and improving the softwares and contributing to the commands. You have le Bureau.coop, which who provides domain names. Algo, which work on the email offer in our service. And also Open Source Politics, which work more on the project management, training, and helping people to adopt the softwares and to use it the right way. So it's about building a commons-based ecosystem. It's about interoperability, not exclusivity. So it's how we work in synergy with multiple stakeholders, so public institutions with LastFit, but also private actors that want to provide the service around this. So it's about subordinating the economic activity to the collective governance. Yeah. There's no venture capital, no enclosure. It's a real shared layer of collaboration without capture. And here the power is really distributed by design. There's no single actor can decide by itself. And the co-op in some ways becomes more an ecosystem steward than a gatekeeper. So concretely, what do we offer? So we offer various services that are based on LastFit tools. So LastFit is a kind of digital workspace. You have a software to take notes collaboratively, so called Docs. You have Grist, which is a no-code database. You have Drive to share files. You have the chat service with Matrix and Element. You have the video conferences with Meet. And you have also a mail offer. So this is the core of the offer that we want to provide and that we work to contribute with LastFit and LastFit.coop. And we also provide more add-on services that we can add also. But yeah, the main core of our offer is to focus on these collaborative tools. And so this is not about anti-economy. We want to set up a business model and a virtuous cycle for the commons. And the idea is to give back a share of our incomes to the community and to the commons so they are maintained in the long term. And yeah, really the idea is to fund the command and all its supply chain, not only our part, and to really contribute to it and to have this broad offer with various service providers who have their own expertise and that can provide a common service. So why does this matter beyond France? We think this can be a blueprint which other countries or other initiatives can get inspired by. So it's a replicable model. It can go beyond those public services. It can be done in many countries, even this, if this kind of cooperative is quite specific in France with this multi-stakeholder schema. And what we are seeing here is that last week shows how a public actor can edit a digital common. And with LastFit.coop, we show how an ecosystem can operate and sustain it and make synergies together. But maybe I think there's still a missing layer in this. broader place where we can coordinate, protect, and fund the commons, be on a single country or on a single ecosystem. And maybe this can be done with this new initiative that is coming in, that has been set up in Europe, so the European Digital Infrastructure Consortium, EDIC. And this provides this new layer with a broader spectrum with different countries collaborating together. So there's Germany, France, Netherlands, I think also, and different countries that are applying to join. And then there you have this institutionalized body that can really work on protecting those commons and to provide a robust infrastructure. We can see some red flags also, see, because we are talking about institutes. It's a very like a political game here. And I think we, as contributors to this ecosystem, we need to make our voice heard and really work together so we can have this place for real collaboration and to have these credible solutions together. Okay, so let's take a quick break here. We've seen this kind of three-layered synergy that I wanted to introduce with this public entity editing commons, an ecosystem of actors that want to sustain it and provide it to the broader public, and a bigger entity that could protect, fund, and drive those commons too. So we are on this track about public digital infrastructure for Europe, and I think I want to conclude this presentation on one main message. So open source is actually not an end. The commons are not an end, they are only methods. They are ways to share code, enable reuse, reduce technical lock-in, share resources, organize governance, distribute power. But it's not an end by itself. Open source matters because of what it enables, not because of the license itself. And commons are about how decisions are made and not just how resources are shared. And what we have to ask ourselves is really what's the goal that we want to set together. And I think this goal is about how we have a shared capacity to decide over our digital infrastructure. And as I mentioned, it's really obvious now. It's something that most open source advocates and common advocates have been raising the alarm for a while. But we are seeing with Trump some hard choices, hard decisions that showed how dependent we are from those infrastructure. Like, for instance, with the International Criminal Court that has been cut off of Microsoft services, and judges that have been cut off of the visa protocol. And we've seen that they can really unplug us, and this is quite dramatic, so we need to organize, if it's not already too late in some ways. But yes, so we need to work together using those tools, open source and commons and shared governance, to build this future that we want. And really, like, if sovereignty is something that matters, governance really matters more than licenses. So that's the direction that we're trying to build with lastweek.coop. And we think this is only the beginning, so it's not silver bullet. It's just a direction that we think it's worth building together. It's a different path for digital sovereignty. So going from public software to shared digital infrastructure and to commons-based ecosystem. And yeah, I really invite you to contribute to this and use this really as a blueprint for your own initiatives and to work together so we can build this robust infrastructures. So actually I went pretty fast, I'm really in advance on time, but that gives us a lot of room for questions. So thank you, and if you want to see what we're doing with lastweek.coop, you have this website URL, and if you have questions, I'm here to answer. Yes.
Thank you for the presentation and the highlighting of the system. I'm just wondering, this is pretty much an operational model that you've described. I'm wondering how much you contribute back to the open source projects that you are operating, the Grist and the like, that are truly private companies that are making money out of open source code.
Yeah, so Yeah, so the question is about how much do we really contribute back to the open source model, open source softwares that we use. So actually what I didn't really mention is that this project is being built. It will be officially, like the legal entity will be officially launched the 1st of July. But in our business model, we defined a share that will be that will go back to the softwares. So obviously, we need also to be sustainable ourselves. So it will be probably gradual, but we hope to at least give something like 10% of the revenue back to the community. So either by contributing ourselves with our own resources, so contributing to the code, helping improving it, but also to giving back to the project. And that's where I think it's important that we have another kind of foundation-like entity, not-for-profit, where which can shepherd this kind of fundings and where everyone, like us, can put a bit of money there. And I think it makes more sense if it's not-for-profit, so we can have this common goal together and not just nourishing an entity that is that usually is capturing all the values or has all the decision power. And that's why I wanted also to introduce this EDIC thing, which could be it. I don't know, honestly. There's really some high political games around this. So we'll see. But yeah, we have to act so we can make it happen. So the question is there municipalities, collectivities, regions that are using those solutions? So La Suite is deployed already, and there's thousands of agents, public agents using it. And there's actually La Suite with La Dinim, which is a digital entity that manages the digital agency for the state that is deploying so for public agents, and you also have ANCT, which is deploying this suite for small collectivities. So all collectivities that are under 3,000 inhabitants, I think, can use La Suite and are using La Suite. And for instance, one of the tools that is really, really used is Grist. And lately, the French state also, maybe you've seen it, a bit following this famous Davos talk of our great president. They say that they are moving out of Teams, Zoom, and they want all public agents to use their video conference solution. So yeah, it's being deployed.
We are in discussion.
Sorry to add one thing. When Macron said yesterday or the day before yesterday that they wanted to switch from Zoom to another tool, they were talking about La Suite.
Yeah, they are talking about La Suite. And us as LaSuite.coop, we want to bridge the gap. So there's public agents, small collectivities that can use La Suite, and us, we want to provide it to the others. So private actors, SMEs, cooperatives, but also to others, public entities that are not in the scope, so bigger municipalities or collectivities.
Sorry, I would like to add something. Macron was talking about probably video, I guess.
Yeah.
Video conferencing solution. It's part of something that the demand is working on related to La Suite. And La Suite is of course open source, and that's why La Suite Parkour is being built and deployed for other people. Because La Suite is built by the demand and deployed is for the public.
Is this platform international?
So yeah, the question is this platform international? So it's mostly in France, but there's collaboration with other countries like the Netherlands, and also with Germany. So some part of open, there's some integration, I think, in OpenText with Docs, for instance, if I'm right. But yeah, there's this it's an objective to be international. And that's also what is the EDIC is about.
Is the architecture is multilingual. It can be translated.
Yeah, actually, it's already done. There's already translations for all those tools. And you can contribute to it. I think actually Docs made the call for this. So if your language is not there, you can contribute.
Over there, back.
Yeah, I was wondering, how far are you actually collaborating already with other suppliers?
So, yeah, So the question is about how we do we collaborate with other providers like Nextcloud, for instance. So actually, LastSuite is built on open source blocks. So for instance, Docs is built on Blocknote.js. So there's collaboration with the Blocknote.js developer. And so some of there is some collaboration on the scope of the tools of those tools. With Nextcloud, it's actually a different solution. So Nextcloud could integrate some solutions of LastSuite, like Docs, for the collaborative editing. But it's another solution. It's actually another model. That's what I was talking about with OpenDesk, which is part of which Nextcloud is part of. So this is a bit of a different path, but I think they can be overlap, and that's where we need to be smart. But yeah, and the goal is definitely to work with editors. They collaborate with Gris, for instance, which is Gris Lab is the editor, and with Matrix also. And LastSuite team have some developers that are paid to work on contributing to those tools. So, okay.
Know the difference or the Venn diagram of OpenDesk and LastSuite. Like, what's the added value of LastSuite and where's the overlap?
Okay. So the question is what's the added value of LastSuite over OpenDesk and what's the overlap? So first, I want to say I'm from LastSuite.coop. I'm not from LastSuite, so this is my point of view. And actually, there's a next talk about LastSuite and from the public for a person that is part of Denium. So we can also answer to this question. But my point of view, as I said, this is like a really game changer when a public entity is editing. It's not a private actor. I like Nextcloud. I like those editors, like they did great. But I think they still capture in some way the power decision. And it's hard sometimes as a service provider to contribute back. There's this commercial agreement to get. They are making decisions that I don't always agree. And so I think here we can really have this landscape with a broader kind of entities, public, private, and it leaves room to have this ecosystem where everyone can contribute and have a say in the decisions. And actually, LastSuite is not there yet. It's something that I think they want, and that's something that we want with LastSuite.coop, and we want to demonstrate that people in the public, in the private sector, that want to play this game, and that it should go away. It should escape them in some ways, and that we create this space for collaboration. But for me, it's really this kind of when you are in this private sector, like your own survival will always be the driver for the decisions. And that thing, I think, is a risk for digital commons and commons in general. So for me, this is the main difference with OpenDesk and LastSuite. This opens this. Different philosophy and different governance model.
The last one.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, do you spend effort, or like how much effort do you spend easing the migration away from other office suites? Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah. So the question is about migration. How do we, what do we do to ease the migration from other solutions and proprietary solutions, for instance? So this is actually something that we are working on, we are planning to work on. It's not quite fluent yet, but that's definitely a contribution as LastSuite.coop that we want to do and to provide like tools for. Sorry. Yeah, and actually I can give you some of our. For Anjana, so with LastSuite.coop, we are planning to do a fundraising to actually have the means to provide this kind of services and tools and to really contribute back. Like, we need to have more financial power. So in the hosters and LastSuite.coop, we are quite small at the moment. But we really want to have more people in our governance and more funds to do these kind of things and to work on the users and the transition. And actually, what is hard with these tools is the adoption. Like, when you have to change all your habits, it's not about only technical migration. It's also about how we work and we train people to use those tools that can be a bit different. And you have always this resistance to change. that need to be managed, and that's what we want to do with Lacid.coop. I think you really wanted to ask your question, so maybe we can go for this one.
I wanted to understand.
The time is over.
Sorry, okay. We can talk.
I'll ask
okay, thank you.